Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Q. Saddleman, and take your pick on what the Q stands for.
Quincy? Quixotic.
Quirky.
Quarrelsome.
Ooh. Uh-oh. It's going to be one of those nights, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, I got that sort of abuse last night. Might as well carry it over to my actual show.
No. See, I was just busting on you to make Carl look good.
No, it's every week. Every week it happens on that show.
As opposed to me, who just likes making jokes about people.
Of course.
Most of them bad.
And on the panel tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the man who's happy that A-Rod's back with the Yankees, VRM.
Hey, it's a disgrace! It's a disgrace! It's a fucking disgrace! And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Didier Drogba.
Oh, yes. Are you a soccer fan, sir?
Yes.
Yes. Barca, did Chelsea get hosed? I don't know. We'll see.
Next, the Manchester United of the group, Jason Block,
Who just celebrated recording his 50th podcast of the blockpartypodcast.com tonight, talking about the American Idol finales and all that good stuff, and Celebrity Apprentice, who, by the way, if Annie Duke doesn't win, it's a joke.
You mean Celebrity Apprentice isn't a joke to begin with?
It is, but that's beside the point. I have to cover it.
Mm-hmm. Doing a show with Andrew Dice Clay and Tom Green on the same show isn't serious?
Then we have Texas's answer to probably the best pitcher in Texas right now, Typho.
I would rather have five lineups filled of Manny Ramirez and the Twins he's apparently trying to conceive than ever taking A-Rod back.
Oh,
Manny, I don't know what drugs you've been taking.
Hey, at least A-Rod hit a home run on his first pitch back.
That was beautiful. That was just...
And speaking of home runs, here's our ground rule double fourth.
Well, bad news, Shane. You got the crap kicked out of you. Good news? Batista still has his title shot.
And finally, we have the crazy, the manic, the insane, the wicked, all-around good-hearted gal, Nikki Haymon.
Who's actually kind of mellow this week. When somebody does me the favor of giving me main events like Chris Jericho and John Morrison, then... Watching John Morrison and Charlie Haas and Chris Jericho and Jeff Hardy. Somebody's booking after my own heart.
You sure you're not in those creative meetings on SmackDown?
I picked up the phone once and then Stephanie screamed in my ear. And you get it.
Speaking of Stephanie McMahon.
Is she pregnant again?
It just makes... If she is pregnant, it would make the creative meetings go much smoother.
Whoa!
Bam.
Ooh, that's not nice.
Put it to you this way. They've got major problems. Mr. Seidelman, you got some numbers that just came out.
Oh, yeah.
The first quarter financials were released this week. And Vince...
Buckle up, folks. It's a rough one.
Give it to us, Mr. Seidelman.
Last year's Royal Rumble drew 533,000 pay-per-view buys.
Ouch.
This year, 450,000 buys.
Double ouch.
Yep.
That's a near 20% drop-off, folks. No way out, 2008. 329,000 buys. Y'all, for No Way Out, 300,000, that's actually pretty good.
Right.
This year, 272,000 buys.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Unlike last year's WrestleMania, this year's WrestleMania took place in the second fiscal quarter. We don't know what the final buy rate for WrestleMania 25 is yet.
Well,
so you think WrestleMania is going to take it on the chin as well, or?
Well, I'm guessing that they're going to have to take it on the chin because, as I was speaking last night, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Let's say you are an avid wrestling fan like we are, okay? TNA pay-per-views are what, $30 a pop?
Yep.
Okay.
And Ring of Honor pay-per-views are only $15.
But they don't run every month. I'm going by the ones that run every month. Just follow my lead for a sec, okay? And they're $30 a month times 12, okay? That's $360 a year, correct?
That would be correct, sir.
Okay. WWE pay-per-views run $530 a year. If you add the $39.95 times 11, $440, I'm sorry, plus the $55, which is $495, say $500, that's $860 a year. And let's say you even order the UFC pay-per-views a month. What is that, $50?
That's another $600.
Okay, so we're talking just on pay-per-views alone, just on budgeting, if you wanted to buy every UFC, WWE, and TNA, we're talking $1,500 a year, okay? That's a lot, and especially in a downturn economy, especially with 9% unemployment, which just happened, and budgets going down, people are going to spend their discretionary income less. Combined with the fact that the storylines are still crappy, at that time they were, these numbers don't surprise me at all. They don't.
That's essentially true, and something about WrestleMania buy rates. During the investor conference call, Vince did say that WrestleMania got over 70,000 fans in-house.
Right.
And is on track to doing close to 1 million buys. That's my bullshit.
You have to have that record somewhere. Did you write down what we thought it was going to be?
Yeah. Someone who called it, I think his name was Mike, was overly generous and gave him 900,000 buys.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Forrest, you were really critical and you gave it 500,000 buys.
Yes. Yeah.
And the rest of us had somewhere in the ballpark between 625 and 700,000.
Well, let's play for argument's sake. Now, WrestleMania 24 did over 1 million, correct?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. And let's say, for example, that it did go a 20% drop, right?
That would equate to the 800,000.
If Vince did that, he is going to go nuts. He's going to go absolutely nuts. Nikki, what do you think? Do you think it's going to drop it to 20%?
If it doesn't drop more, because unfortunately there was only one match that really drew, and that would have been Michael's Undertaker. And
right.
All certain individuals on this show said they would not spend $50 on just one match. So if they didn't give a shit about the rest of the show, then that's, you know, that's $50 that they're not, that nobody's going to get. And since it's you're talking about discretionary income, most people probably went to sports bars or got together to watch the pay-per-view, much as I did with five or six of my friends, including a couple of people who normally would either get it on their own or go to a sports bar or whatever.
Exactly.
So some of this deflation of numbers is just people saving money, not necessarily walking away from the pay-per-view. If you assume that there's more than one person per buy, he might have his million people, but he's certainly not going to see that on his bottom line.
No, he's not. Now, let me ask you this. Where do you think this is going to translate into? Well, we all know the WrestleMania is coming out, I believe, a week from Tuesday on DVD, on the 19th.
Yep.
And 12 Rounds comes out in June 30th on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely correct.
So what are your predictions on the DVD sales of WrestleMania 25 and or 12 Rounds?
Well, WrestleMania 25 on the DVD sales, here's what I'm pretty much thinking about it. It will do okay. But let's face it, there really wasn't that big celebration except for that one match, and that's Michael's Taker, and I can guarantee you that match will definitely appear on a new Undertaker DVD that's in the works for next year when the Undertaker is done.
What you?
It'll also be on another Shawn Michaels DVD when that comes out.
Okay, before you say, where did you hear that the Undertaker DVD is in the works? Is that your thoughts? Or is that
My thoughts, because it's going to be Undertaker's last year, and they're going to milk Undertaker's retirement for all it's worth.
First of all, number one.
We've been saying that for 15 years. We've been saying that for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. And until we get a legit confirmation of that, that's just sort of speculation.
Well, some of the speculation is sort of credited, because the fact that I got this from JR's blog, Undertaker's going in for more surgery.
And it depends on what it's going to be. If it's his hip, yeah, this is going to be his last year. If it's just his knee, he could probably get another 1 or 2 years out of this.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, again, until Callaway says I'm done, he's not done.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to take away your smoke here, but first of all, the way SmackDown is structured now, they could get away with Undertaker not even being there. SmackDown has become the show to watch in the last 2 weeks. Nikki has been, as we say in the Yiddish biz, quelling over these last 2 weeks, because SmackDown.
I'm
in
all verklempt.
What?
Nothing.
You fell verklempt? Yes. Because the last two weeks of SmackDown has been phenomenal. But getting back to the actual numbers here. Do we think we're going to see any improvement, especially with Randy Orton as champ? I mean, even on PW Insider, they specifically said and put a chart out there that said that once Randy Orton became champ, rating points have gone down between 0.1 to 0.3 tenths of a point.
And it's going to happen again, because the only fan base he has is Oh My God fans and the handful of college douchebags, which does not translate to dedicated wrestling fans, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Absolutely not. You're right. Oh, yeah.
Orton, I think it's part of it, but I think also the fact that the main event scene, if you look at it, it's not really that great on Raw. I mean, it's currently.
No, I just turned up the volume.
Now it's just Orton, Big Show, Cena, And they're all right in terms of wrestling, but I don't know, just they can't really grab the audience somehow. At least not the way many of them used to.
Now, Nikki, you're going to really hate me on this one, but just hear me out for a minute, okay?
Okay.
When you see John Cena get his ass kicked on Raw Monday night, as it was, and by the way, Raw was brutal Monday. It was terrible. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see John Cena all of a sudden, after the cameras are off, look fine. To some fans, not all, that's going to basically say, I shouldn't watch this because what I'm seeing on TV isn't real. Or at least what on TV is just so over the top because we know different. You understand
okay,
what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to paint a different scenario for you.
Okay.
Outside of wrestling, what is your favorite show?
Outside of wrestling, what is my favorite show?
What is your favorite TV show?
All right, I'll give you one order. Give you one.
Okay. You know those guys really aren't lawyers, don't you?
Of course.
All right. Because that's what a wrestling show is. A TV show. You just happen to have the opportunity to see it in person. And these beatdowns, at times, are not real. Yes. And kids are going to scratch their heads about it. But it's going to go a long way into educating them into not trying this shit on their kids, on each other. It is just a television show. And that is why I have zero problem with the camera turning off and John Cena getting up and saying, guess what? You know, yeah, I just got my ass kicked. But I can't leave it like that. And he's going to keep on going. You have the option at that point, by the way, to pick up your shit and leave the arena if you have that big of a problem with it.
I really, this is just my opinion. This is just my personal opinion. I think the fact that Cena's going to be wrestling on these shows, I think it's going to come back to bite him. I really do. Because I think there's going to be a point where people are going to say, you know what, no matter what Cena does, and what, you know, he's going to be wrestling later. You know, it's just, I know you disagree with me totally, but it rubs me the wrong way. It really does.
And that's why I said you have the option to get up at that point, and a lot of people do, and leave. And there's guys that play to it, even though, you know, they got their ass kicked. I'll give you another example. I was at a SmackDown taping in Pittsburgh, where at the end of the show, the end of the televised portion of the show, Triple H ran afoul of the Great Khali and got stomped. The camera's turned off. He crawls over to the corner, gets a microphone. While Khali is ambling back up the ramp, he demands a street fight. The audience isn't even aware of what the cameras are doing. They don't know. They don't care. They're like, oh, cool. Triple H is going to get Khali back. He has to, because that wasn't very nice.
Right. But here's the difference. There's a difference between getting beat down, okay, and getting thrown through an 8,000-watt spotlight.
Which was 24 hours prior. Which means he had burns, he had cuts, and he came out for the television audience with his shirt on, being held up by a referee.
Correct.
Which means he did his part.
Correct.
And since he was beat down again the following week, he continues to do his part. And if the cameras turn off and he decides to do something else, again, there's the door. Because of your logic,
Yes.
Then Monday Night Raw in Columbus, Ohio has changed its dark match main event 3 times. No, I can't say that. Your logic only changed it once. Triple H, John Cena, and Batista was supposed to face Legacy in a 3-on-3 tag match. Because of your logic, because somebody might actually be listening to you about this. Triple
H. Schneer, get in there.
My apologies for being tardy. Good evening, everybody.
Okay.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Triple H is not going to be doing this. So I have a 3-on-2 handicap match because they're holding Triple H off till at least Judgment Day.
Yep.
Thank you for taking somebody away from me that I would have liked to have seen. Even no matter what the storyline says, I wanted to see him.
Well,
I valued my money. I paid $70 for my... No, I didn't pay. I paid $40 for these seats.
Okay.
I didn't pay $70.
Well, with all due respect, that's fine. Because I would rather have Vince do the right thing and say, I can survive without John Cena for a couple of weeks. Instead of doing the bullshit that's been going on, and that's what it is, bullshit. And you
maybe
can call,
it is. Then Vince, no, the bullshit is that Vince says he can't live without John Cena and is going to continue to showcase him because that's what a lot of his fans came to see. Same thing with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, when he had the pyro accident, was coupled up with weekend house shows. They lost money on those 3 house shows because they had to announce Jeff Hardy will not be here and we are offering refunds. I didn't pay attention to anybody who was leaving, but I was frustrated. I paid good money to see Jeff Hardy with that belt around his waist and couldn't because of the storyline.
Okay.
So I have no good pictures of Jeff Hardy with the title per your logic.
Oh, okay. Is that honestly a personal thing? I'll put it to you this way. Is your opinion more of a personal, I'm pissed? Or is this just a general, I think WWE should do whatever they want?
I think WWE should do what makes them money.
Unfortunately for you, and unfortunately for a lot of the people who don't like John Cena, that's what WWE has to do. They have to feature their main guy, their main moneymaker, and currently in this era it is John Cena. Now he is hurt, so he can't cut. He is hurt. Please.
You yell at Jason. I have no problem with Cena being out there.
I'm lost. This is my own show, and I'm lost. I can't do this anymore. Let's just move on. Can we please just drop this and go on to something more happy?
Sure.
Like cute Kip getting squashed by Awesome Kong next week on Impact.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, that's a win right there. That is definitely a win.
Yep.
Undeniable.
Yes, next week on Impact, I know, spoiler alert, but who cares? Next week on Impact, watch it. Cute Kip gets beat up by Awesome Kong.
I think Awesome Kong should go after the World Heavyweight title. I'd love to see it.
Me too.
You remember when China was the dominant woman? I think Awesome Kong is one of the biggest badasses in wrestling, men or women. And I think she should just forget the women's division and the knockout division, go after people like Kurt Angle. That would make her a superstar.
Kurt Angle's been pushing for Amazing Kong to move up to the division. Remember a year ago, around this time, they announced that Awesome Kong was competing with the men?
I don't remember.
Competing with the men in that...
Yeah, they did the Lethal Lottery kind of tag tournament.
I said, I would love to see it. I think she's ready for it, and I think because let me just tell you. Well, let me ask you this: Have you been? Impact has been decent lately. You know, it's been okay. I mean, I'm actually
been much better than Raw.
Exactly, Impact has been better than Raw on just so much stuff like that. Raw is the worst show on TV right now, by far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just me, but it has been.
Yes, and I know I'm not. I'm going to do some more spoilers, but I'd like to bring a spoiler out right now. Christopher Daniels is no longer Suicide.
When did Kazarian take over again?
This past tapings. Because on the Impact before Sacrifice, three-way tag team dance, Lethal Consequences, the Guns, versus Christopher Daniels and Suicide as a tag team.
Hello Kitty. By the way, Christopher Daniels is just amazing. Just insane.
He was this close to getting into WWE in 1997 to be a part of their light heavyweight division. And guess who was really pushing for him?
Who?
Cornette.
Well, Cornette was working with WWF back then.
Yeah.
So.
Just. Yeah.
So do we know what who's in on TNA? Who's removing what? Like, in other words, so Sting is going to retire. Kurt Angle's going to hand up the godfathership. What's Jarrett's going to...
Foley's got the bell, and from spoiler impact, from the spoilers, Jarrett is in the match, and he is removing all his... I think it's his pull.
His executive authority.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
So it's like... Remember back in 99, the start of the higher power angle? When it was revealed the higher power, the end of the higher, thank you. The end of the higher power angle when the higher power was shown to be Vince. And Linda and Stephanie forfeited their company, their power of the company, and gave it to Stone Cold. And all that ensued?
Yes.
That's pretty much what Jarrett's going to do. I know it sounds stupid, but there you go.
Yeah. So,
kind of be stupid if it was two careers on the line.
So to switch something up on a more personal level, you said you had some big announcements, and Nikki, you had some announcements too? Or do you want to get to that later?
We'll get to that in the tail end of the show, but right now we had some that Carl announced, that Carl brought up. Last week we had a little spat, and this didn't record. Thank you, Blog Talk. At the tail end of the show, on what was the best year and worst year of wrestling? It got kind of heated when I mentioned Chris Benoit and how I said 2007 was the worst year for the wrestling business. When buy rates seemingly dipped on the news that Benoit went batshit crazy and murdered his family and committed suicide.
That's understandable, too. But go on.
And now, what we're going to do right now is we're all going to have a little powwow on this show and talk about what each of us think is the best year in wrestling and what we think is the worst year in wrestling.
Okay.
Now, this is just for fun. There'll be no score, no points. That's around the horn, and that'll be in, I think, 2 weeks.
Okay.
And let's start, since Carl, since you brought it up, why don't you start us off? What is your best year in wrestling?
Yeah, leave it to me, Stardomman. Okay.
Yeah, you're the one who brought it up.
Yeah, of course.
Came with the idea.
Blog Talk Radio decided not to record. Okay, best year. I go back to the 90s, of course, during the beginning of the bloom period of wrestling again. I really believe the best year was 1998. You see, at the beginning, you had the Austin and Michaels stuff with Tyson as referee at 14, WrestleMania 14. WCW was still on a roll. And then as the year progressed, you saw the WWE come up from the ground up. And by the time we got to the end of 1998, WWE pretty much started gaining control back of the ratings war. Those fun times.
It was fun times indeed. 98 was a good year.
'98
was a good year.
What was that?
What was
your worst year?
Oh, boy, I'm about to get asked for this. Let's see. Well, I can tell you it was a year in this decade. I would have to definitely say 2003.
Okay, why?
Evolution, enough said.
I don't think that was the problem, but...
Triple H being prominently featured every week. The beginnings of Randy Orton.
No, I can think of better things you want to bitch about for 2003.
I can, too.
All right, lay it on me here.
Scott Steiner.
Steiner.
Bingo.
Royal Rumble 2003.
No Way Out 2003, Revenge of the Crap.
It could have been the next
heavyweight
champion for the world.
Hogan McMahon at WrestleMania 19.
Mr. America.
Kevin
Nash.
Wow.
That was 2002 when he blew his quad.
No, 2003,
yeah.
He came back. Triple H,
he came back.
The Hell in a Cell.
Blood 03.
Yeah, he had those two pay-per-view title matches with Triple H, Judgment Day and Bad Blood.
Zach Gowen.
That was bad.
That's not bad. Zach Gowen ruled. He was just booked bad.
Yeah.
Supposedly nobody wanted to lay down to a one-legged guy.
And Big Show did.
Came off. It didn't look that great.
Well, Big Show who hasn't Big Show laid down to?
One of the worst things I can think of in 03 was squandering Sean O'Hare's character, but...
Oh, that was bad.
Later. Don't remind me.
Mm-hmm. How about speaking of O'Hare at that same time, how about our good friend Nathan Jones and his push?
What happened there was his own damn fault.
How about most of WrestleMania 19 in general?
No. That was a good show.
That was a damn good show.
Michaels, Jericho, Angle, Lesnar. That's all I have to say about it.
Everything
except for that match, like the Undertaker handicap match when Nathan Jones was locked in a closet or something like that.
The FBI beat him up.
Nathan Jones was going to suck, and he ran out there. He ran out there and still blew a move.
Booker, and that was the end of Nathan Jones' wrestling career.
Booker versus Triple H.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Booker versus Triple H, the forgotten world title match.
It was a triple threat, wasn't it?
No, it was just Booker versus Triple H.
And actually, that was Booker's fault because he called an injury in the ring. I bet you Booker was supposed to win that night.
Mm-hmm. Here's a good one. Goldberg's WWE run started in
2003. Ooh. Ow. Okay.
Goldust putting
the
wig on him backstage.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That was funny.
No, that was probably one of the best spots.
His car stalling in that angle with Jericho.
Yep.
Pouring paint on a barracuda is a crime.
Was this the year?
That car was badass. I'm sorry. That cuda was badass. That's a 420 V8, if I'm not mistaken.
And
was
it's somebody,
this the year of...
paint on it. Bad.
That's right. And
let's go to.
That was just hilarity right there, Booker T and Goldust.
Yeah, well.
That's one of the
best. That's probably one of the only highlights of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Ram, let's go to you.
Best year, I have to agree with Carl here, 1998, hands down. Worst year, considering I haven't watched, I've only watched really since 1999, to be honest.
That's okay. Doesn't, you know, everybody's entitled.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, dang it, I can't decide.
Alright. Alright, Matt, oh, Typo, you're next.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to stay in, like, my watching time range. I started watching, like, around 1991. So I could probably pull something from before that, but I don't want to do anything that I didn't actually see firsthand happening live. So I'm going to say my best year, I would say, I'm agreeing with the other two so far, 1998, just because before then, since then, I've just never seen wrestling at the popularity that it was at in 1998, so... And you couldn't move without seeing an Austin shirt, a DX shirt, an NWO shirt.
Rock.
And it was just, to me at the time, having been a fan for so long and nobody caring, it was just odd. And that's how I knew it had just hit its height. For my worst year, I'm going with 1995. It's because... Just judging on the two big companies, their top shows of the year, one was headlined by Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow. The other built their whole freaking storyline around New Japan Pro Wrestling invading, and nobody really cared.
Well, that's what you get for only giving them 30 minutes on their lowest show.
They're half of WCW Pro.
Yep.
I mean, I like Masahiro Chono, and Kintsugi Sasaki, great, but I don't really want to see them like all over Starcade, and I don't really care if they win the war.
Agree, and I'll give you a few other reasons why '95 was crap.
Mabel.
King Mabel.
Wrestling certainly did not pay, and everybody had to have a gimmick.
Yep.
Okay.
95 was that worst year when everybody had to have a gimmick. Actually, I think Vince started that everybody had to have a gimmick from 88, 89, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of my favorites, Make a Difference Fatu.
Now, we all know Ahmed Johnson didn't have a gimmick apart from...
Yeah, he did. He just didn't speak English.
Yeah.
Which made him a good fit for the Nation of Domination.
I just want to know how long until we see his epic feud with Willie Jakes.
I think it's probably in a low-rent indie fed.
Is that Ezekiel Jackson?
No, Ahmed Johnson.
I know. I'm trying to make a joke, and I failed.
You never know till you try.
Yeah.
Story.
Please skip the fail sound effect. I already... Yeah, your mother.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Let's just... With that notwithstanding...
I'm not yelling at you, Seidelman.
Would it be ironic that when you said that, my mom's in the room?
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Stop your mama, Seidelman.
Hold on. Nikki Hammond has something to say to Mama Seidelman.
Go ahead, Bibby.
Oh.
Sincerest apologies for invoking you.
That's okay, Nikki. She can't hear you anyways.
Wow, man.
I will hurt you severely.
All right, so you're next.
My next?
Fourth is.
The one and only one homicidal man.
To be honest, I'd like to go fairly back in time, about 1987.
Wow!
While the AWA was suffering, I felt the World Wrestling Federation and Crockett, they were at least, they were doing great business then, you know? I mean, imagine it was not there at that point. It was Sting, it was Nikita Koloff, Flair, they were doing good. And, of course, you had Hogan, Andre, Macho Man. But,
the Honky Tonk Man,
Ted DiBiase.
Yep.
I actually saw, I believe, my first live cage match in 87. Was Macho Man champ in 87?
Early part of 87, yes. Oh, world champ? No, 88.
Okay. Yeah, that okay, 88? Okay. Because that's when he defended against DiBiase in a cage at Madison Square Garden. That was my first wrestling show. So.
In terms of the worst year, I want to go from a creative standpoint, because as bad as 2007 was in terms of tragedy, I felt that there were at least a lot of great things that were done creatively there. So I would also like to pick
1995. Mantar.
D.L. Hopper.
He was 96.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Duke the Dumpster Drossy.
That's 94.
He went into 95, too.
All right.
Man Mountain Rock was 95.
Yep, Man Mountain Rock was 95. Let's go to our favorite person in the whole wide room. Me! No.
No.
Nikki, you're next.
I'll go here. Oh, okay. No. Let's see. Favorite year is kind of a toss-up. Although I'm going to lean, I'm kind of torn between 2002 and 2004. There was a lot of great stuff going on in 2002, culminating in the first Elimination Chamber match at Survivor Series.
Which, unfortunately, I missed due to my grandmother's death. And I wish, you know, I would have been there, but I heard a lot of great things about that match.
And 2004, well, the other thing with 2002 was the SmackDown 6. Los Guerreros, Edge and Ray, Benoit and Angle.
I thought the SmackDown 6 was 04, not 02.
No, that was
it started in 02, but it's mainly 03.
Okay.
It started in 02, lingered a bit into 03, then Edge went out with his neck injury. But they held up the fort very well. 2004, however, was a great year in the fact that wrestling was starting to turn back into a sport because Benoit and Angle were so important to that year. Lesnar would have been a factor if he hadn't taken his ball and gone to Minnesota.
And then immediately left Minnesota.
Right. It had just, you know, the fact that the football thing fell through for him. And then his wife talked him into suing Vince, and we all know that that was just a great big ugliness. 2004, though, was probably one of the best years. You know, I'll omit SummerSlam. The rest of that year was just a wonderful, you know, a wonderful year of storytelling, a wonderful year of athletic wrestling.
And your worst year?
Well, remember, I've only been watching the WWF since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't talk about 1995 being a bad year. I can't talk about 1998 being a good year. I'm going to default to 2003, but not because of Triple H. I'm defaulting mainly because Scott Steiner, Goldberg, and Kevin Nash were all part of the main event picture. Steiner was in horrible shape. Nash had just come back from an injury and would soon be going out with yet another injury. Chris Jericho had been marginalized. The tag team division was in a shambles because this was the Dudleys had just gotten back together. ENC was still broken up. The Hardys were still broken up. So there really wasn't much of a tag division going on. 3-Minute Warning had been broken up, and Rosie was drifting in the general direction of Hurricane, but that didn't happen until late 2003. So it was, you know, everything was a mess. This was definitely a restructuring year for the WWE,
yeah.
both roster-wise and creatively. There were probably times where they weren't willing to take a chance and move the belt anywhere else because Triple H did the SummerSlam Elimination Chamber injured, spending 2/3 of the match quote unquote unconscious, so that he didn't have to strain his injured groin and retain, and then dropped it half-heartedly the next month to Goldberg when she held it
mm-hmm.
for a month, and I think it went right back to Hunter, didn't it?
Until Armageddon.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a great year story-wise, but I'm not going to put the onus of it on Triple H. I really can't. It was just a bad main event scene.
Jason, you're next.
Nikki is 100% correct. 2004 was the greatest year in modern wrestling. I mean, the Attitude Era was great, but there was nothing better to see two of the most technical wrestlers in the world, two short, semi-muscular guys in Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero hugging under the confetti under the banner of WrestleMania 20, which I was at live.
Lucky shit.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. But the second point about, well, first of all, you also have the emergence of John Cena as a superstar there when he
right.
was, you know, when he was actually good on the mic. The World Life gimmick, yes.
When he actually had a gimmick.
Yes, when he actually had a gimmick, yes, instead of he was being his own self. But I will actually also point to a match in 2004 that Nikki Haymon was at live that year.
Oh?
Yes. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bad Blood 04, 55 minutes in the cage. Hell in a Cell.
Which indeed was a match of the year candidate.
Yes.
And I was second row camera side for
yes.
this wonderful piece of magic.
This,
yeah.
Now, and it is on the Hell in a Cell DVD set, and if you do not have this match, you should in your collection. Because put it to you this way, they bled, they sweated, they told a fantastic story. It was brilliant stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
it was brilliant
furniture
stuff.
Too.
Oh, it was amazing, amazing stuff. And the worst year of wrestling, I really, you know, honestly, the worst year of wrestling was, oh, God, you know, honestly, it's got to be 07. No, well, not 07. No, it's 95. It
yeah.
really is 95 because it was just the whole height of mid-90s hypocrisy, mid-90s characters of the
yeah.
WWE. And
don't forget WCW's god-awful characters.
Yeah, like Glacier, like...
No, that was 96.
But
95. The Yes Day.
The promos.
Yes,
the
but you understand
for
that,
like
huh?
a year.
But it was just horrible stuff. Horrible
yeah.
stuff.
Now, the only reason I didn't say 95 was because I didn't fully watch it at the time, so I didn't feel it was appropriate.
I fully
watched 95.
You know, it's just, you know, just, ugh. Hogan was retired at that point, or was he in WCW back then?
Oh, he was in WCW and he held the belt.
In
95?
He was in main event.
In 95, okay.
Yeah.
For
it's
most
of
the year, he held the belt.
Story.
Okay. So I believe, Seidelman, you're up.
My favorite year of wrestling, what I think is the best year, and I will explain it, 1992.
Ric Flair Royal Rumble. Ric Flair Royal Rumble, go on.
Ric Flair Royal Rumble.
Iron
Flair
Man
Savage WrestleMania 8. Piper Hart WrestleMania 8. I will give you the entire Wembley SummerSlam.
Nails.
No.
Stop.
The emergence of Bret Hart as the Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking about WWF. And I'll also bring up the fact that Hogan was out of the picture, and then until you're approved, you could have a great year of wrestling without Hogan in the WWF, especially in that time. And the mid-card scene was just phenomenal. Hart, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
Mr. Perfect, if you remember. Was it Hart?
No. That, he came back in Survivor Series.
What was Hart Perfect SummerSlam at the Garden?
91.
Okay. That was a great match, too, by the way.
Yeah, and I'll give you something for 92 and WCW. They got themselves, they got off their asses and they fixed things. They got rid of Jim Herd. They brought in Bill Watts. Now, I know he gets crap for the, he doesn't like people going over the top rope, and he likes real wrestling, and that's something I could get behind. Since Bill Watts came from that era. And take a look at who emerged in that year, that 92, as big-time stars. Sting. He was solidified then, especially with his feud with another guy, Big Van Vader. That's when he really started to get pushed. Big Van Vader in 92. Ruger was kicked to the curb. A lot of the gimmicky wrestlers were kicked to the curb. I'm sorry, Big Josh, PN News, El Gigante.
Good God.
The Ding Dong.
Ding Dongs were earlier.
Dynamic Dude.
That was way earlier. You had Shane, you had the entire, you had Nikki Haman's favorite person, Paul Heyman, and his Dangerous Alliance. How about this for a Motley Crue? Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, Larry Sabisco. Five amazing workhorses.
Back then? Yes. Okay. Now
yeah,
Sabisco's
that's what I'm talking about back then.
Now Larry Sabisco's in front of cemeteries promoting dangerous diet drugs. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather see him holding belts he never held.
And let's talk about, and also in WCW, Sting, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat. I mean, the whole Dangerous Alliance feud was freaking amazing. Now my worst year? It's kind of hard, and I know I said 2007, but I did some rethinking. It is not 2007. My least favorite year in wrestling. Unfortunately, to disagree for everybody, I have to say 2002.
What?
What?
Why?
Three letters, friend.
What, are you nuts?
All of the good that came out of 2002 gets nullified for these few things. TNA debuts, and it is the worst crap that we've ever seen. Wrestling penises. Midgets jacking off in trash cans.
Big cheeks.
Cheeks. We can't forget cheeks. And in your first show, you put the belt on Ken Shamrock.
What about those flying Ovi?
And actually,
yeah.
I'm glad that part of those events weren't part of my wrestling viewing, so I will respectfully disagree.
And the stuff in 2002, I understand why some of you may call it the best year, but you all gloss over one little thing. Which is the most disgusting horrible storyline ever.
Katie Vick?
Yeah.
Katie Vick.
Well,
that one gets the Picard salute.
Is that in Room 101, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm the one who threw it
in. No. Katie Vick is not in.
Okay, then I'll volunteer.
I think it's just an honorary mention.
Yeah.
But it should be under.
You know what? Screw it. Katie Vick, even though I really don't want to look for the footage,
no,
I drew the new video, but screw it. It's going in now.
No one should talk.
Ouch. But wait a minute. So you're saying that Katie Vick outweighs the SmackDown 6?
I will explain. Let me explain. They brought in a few WCW guys, the WCW guys that people cared about, where EDP, Booker to start.
Right.
Well, I'm talking about 2000. I know I'm talking about 2001. But in 2002, Flair, who was coming off a good start in 2001, gets shellacked in 2002. The rebirth of the NWO, which was just horribly mismanaged. And by the tail end, there was no original NWO members there. Was it Hall, Nash?
Okay, now, some of that you got to put on circumstances. Scott Hall was an idiot. Kevin
plane
Nash
ride
got
from
hurt.
Hell. Oh, now thinking about 2002, the plane ride from hell.
Yeah. Kevin Nash got hurt. Scott Hall
Horace
was an
Claude
idiot.
Thanks to Disco for forgetting his other thing.
Hogan was turned face when they saw what happened at WrestleMania 18 with him against Rock, so he couldn't stay with the NWO.
And of
course, he got the belt a month later.
Which, by the way, I will tell you something. I did not watch that month when Hogan had the belt in 2002.
I didn't care. It was a nostalgia run.
Didn't miss much.
And, you know, it was made up for with what Shawn Michaels did to Hogan in 2005.
Yeah.
I think it is kind of fitting, though, that Hogan had the belt because he was the last ever WWF champion because the name change happened during his title reign.
We all forget about this, that name change. I mean, World Wrestling Federation, that's the name. World Wrestling Entertainment?
We got the F out and got those great commercials along the way.
Actually, some of those were pretty cool.
Yeah, some of those were pretty cool,
you're blowing my mind here. How can Katie Vick and Hulk Hogan outweigh a year of incredible wrestling?
Also throw in the WWA pay-per-views. I'm talking about wrestling as a whole, not just WWE.
Okay.
I can kind of sum up what makes Katie Vick so bad. It was bad to the point that people forget that at the exact same time on SmackDown, they had a horrible main event storyline too, where Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar bring in someone supposedly having an affair with The Undertaker.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's right, when Sarah actually ended up on camera.
Oh, that was 2001.
Because DDP was Sarah's stalker.
Right.
That was 2001.
They brought Sarah in 2002 also. She was pregnant, and they had Lesnar, like, corner her Unforgiven.
Didn't that lead up to where Undertaker supposedly got his arm broken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Katie Vick thing, there was one redeeming thing from it. And I know I'm a twisted person for it, but the Hurricane's proctology video to make up for a botched ending of Raw is still the funniest thing that came out of this. The Raw before the video was actually shown, Kane had gotten a hold of Triple H and thrown him in the trunk of a car, but as he drove away, you saw the hood pop up.
Yeah.
So the next show, Triple H shows up hale and healthy, and Hurricane comes out and asks him about it. He says, oh, I found the safety release in the trunk. That's how I got away. And Hurricane says, that's not what my sources said, and played this Saturday Night Live quality, meaning it was funny, but it was way too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
video of Triple H getting too much crap yanked out of his ass.
Which was funny, and that means, and when we have us pulling stuff out of our ass, that means time is up.
Ta-da.
So we'll have the announcements in the archives for Jason, Nikki, VRM, Typo 4, Carl Schneer. I'm Robert Saddleman saying...
Yes. But
yes, like badly edited British TV. They have their name and it just goes to the end credits because they got to run like 50 seconds worth of
credits,
names. 50 seconds, yeah, 50 or so seconds worth of credits to tell you what's going to be on BBC Two or BBC Four.
Yeah. So now that we're in archives, what you got?
Big stuff.
Let's do it.
The date. Mark this down. I want everybody on here if you can make it. July 24th.
July 24th.
Okay.
All right. What's happening?
2-hour show to start because it is the big North American Wrestling Connection 100th episode.
Ooh!
Woo!
Wow, okay.
100 shows, starting from when me and Carl did as the East-West Wrestling Connection.
North-South
Wrestling Connection. I forget East-West was Adrian Adonis and Jesse Body Ventura.
Okay.
It spawned this, what we have now.
100
shows.
Fantastic.
All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna have the usual good stuff, good segment, Room 101. But we'll drop even more crap. We'll probably drop more crap before that. And on the another end, Nikki has something in the works, don't you?
If we have time, we do shows from the 100th show forward. I got a rather interesting proposal from a couple of gentlemen I ran into at Insanity Pro Wrestling last weekend. To give a little bit of backstory, some of our competition has apparently got a little bit of funding, and they threw it at Insanity Pro to become a sponsor. However, wrestlers who know me, including one who I've managed in the past, ask me what I knew about internet radio. I spoke of this show. They asked me, don't you guys have any interview segments if you're going to talk about wrestling? I said, no, but I would welcome it. So for the 100th episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, I am bringing in two independent sensations of the Southwest Ohio area, specifically in HWA and IPW mainstay, Astonishing Aaron Williams, and a wrestler who I have managed and has also been a standout in leagues such as Heartland Wrestling, Insanity Pro, Generation of Destination, Dynamic Championship Wrestling, and American Lucha Corps, a gentleman known as Dustin Reyes.
All right. And, wow, you're classing up the joint.
Both of them will be coming to our show, and we are going to talk specifically about the independent scene versus WWE/TNA. Because the three of us agreed that the wrestling community, the IWC, those of us who watch more than attend, really don't understand the size of the difference between what goes on in an independent wrestler's life versus a guy in the WWE or a guy in TNA. This is going to be a real eye-opener, and they are so looking forward to it. Dustin had been pestering me about it all week, and Dustin, if you happen to catch this in the archive, we're looking forward to having you and Aaron. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Yes, we are.
Absolutely. I think that'll be great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And another thing that has been kind of gnawing at me, I used to come on, you know, I used to host a show and have some good wrestling knowledge, and I kind of feel like I've been usurped. That aspect. By Jason.
Oh, what did I do now?
Well, you're here and you've pretty much blown everybody away with your knowledge of wrestling. But I have a little proposal for you.
Okay.
I got $25 that says I know more than you.
That sounds like a challenge.
Whoa. Are you talking about a wrestling trivia challenge?
Yes. A wrestling trivia challenge as we rip off another show, which we like to do around here. I challenge you to an all-wrestling edition of Beat the Block.
Wow, okay. Who writes the questions?
Nikki and a third party will write the questions.
Oh.
She has agreed that she will not talk to me or you about any of the categories or the questions behest for the program.
Okay.
The rules will be followed as said. It will be like Beat the Geeks.
Right.
First to 10 wins.
Winner gets $25.
Winner gets $25 from the opponent. Either PayPal, money order, or other assorted goodies valuing up to $25. Be like a
no
Subway
checks.
Gift.
No checks.
Oh,
put it to you this way. Haymans know about checks, don't they?
Nobody will take a check from me. I don't want checks flying around in here.
This is where we need that picture of JBL bouncing the checks at One Night Stand.
Yep.
I discussed that with JBL in person.
I have three words for you, Mr. Seidelman. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
You got it, Jason. So on the 100th show, Room 101, our first ever wrestling interview, and me kicking Jason Block's ass.
Oh! I'm going to back up.
This is going to be the best show ever.
Okay, Mr. Seidelman. When you have to borrow $25 from your mother.
I have it in my wallet, dude. I have the $25 in my wallet.
That's okay. You just keep borrowing it from like JBL, and then you can work for him and stuff. So that's fine.
Just remember, I heard he likes ballparks.
Yes, but remember, Mr. Seidelman, how many game shows have you been on?
Let's face it, I'm only 22, and when I was the proper age, kid game shows were pretty much dead.
Right, but okay. Does that mean anything? I'm 41 years old, and I'm $175,000 above you. So three words for you, Mr. Seidelman. Kiss my ass. Okay. All I'm saying to you is, bring it on. It's going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. This will probably be painful for me, but it's going to be fun.
You know what? All of a sudden, but seriously, if I lose, I will be happy to pay because I do not welch on my bets. And the fact of the matter is that let's make this 100th show real good. And let's just have some fun with it. You know what I'm saying? So
that sounds good to me. And we'll prove that Nikki Haymans is a better. And this will probably prove that Nikki Haymans is a better question writer than, I don't know, what game show had famous bad questions aired?
Temptation?
Oh, that show was just bad, period.
Yeah, exactly.
Incarnation of Match Game?
What? Excuse me?
The last incarnation of Match Game?
Over
the 7-Up question?
I didn't realize you knew that one from Match Game 98. Yeesh, that was terrible.
Yeah. I just had my jaw in my lap because I couldn't believe they were actually getting away with the questions. Then I remembered how occasionally raunchy 77 got.
Occasionally raunchy, but but Match King 98 was filthy, okay, and it wasn't supposed to be, and that's why it didn't do what it was supposed to do. But anyway.
Well, what do you get when your highest known celebrity was Vicki Lawrence and you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel like Nell Carter, who hasn't done anything major since Gimme a Break?
At that point,
Rondell Sheridan.
Who hasn't done anything big back then since, what the hell has he done since back then?
Ever.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad the 100th show is going on. I'm going to take off now, guys, and we'll see you next week, because next week I believe we have Judgment Day to present.
And Tyler better show up, otherwise I'm stripping him of the title.
So the card so far is what? You have Orton Batista, you have Edge Jeff Hardy, and that's that, right?
Punk and Umaga.
Oh, what they announced?
Big Show.
Well, we'll probably get Punk and Umaga. We'll probably get Big Show, Superman. And then we'll also probably get Mysterio Jericho
It's the 1998 all over again.
And also we'll also see we'll probably also see Benjamin Morrison one more time.
Yeah.
Which,
you break his heart.
Right. Yes, I know. Abs, and more abs, right?
By the way, Jason.
Yes, sir.
I got an idea for next week's show as well.
For
this one.
Okay.
Continuing the best and worst series. Think of the best and worst Hell in a Cell match.
I'm going to be hard pressed for that one because
that's easy. Kennel from Hell.
The worst one's taken care of. The Kennel from Hell.
Yeah.
And honestly. There are only, I mean, if you want to discuss this now, this is easy. I mean, there's only two Hell in a Cell matches that actually, and I've watched the set, okay, that come close to that. Undertaker, Mick Foley for the holy shit, I can't believe he did that sort of match.
Okay. 98 King of the Ring.
Yeah, 98 King of the Ring. And Bad Blood 04. For the pretty much going 60 minutes almost in a cage. You know, would you get, okay, stop drooling.
Can't help it.
But
Michaels broke the moodometer.
What'd you just say?
Michaels broke the moodometer.
Yes, he did. But if you remember, if you're going to go back to the Hell in a Cell, okay. First of all, now the Hells in the Cells are much bigger. If you notice, they went from, what was it, 16 feet to 20?
Yeah.
It was changed at Unforgiven 06?
I think so. I mean, because the bigger cage is just insane. Okay? That's just nuts. Okay? Also, because I think the first cell was beat to shit.
Probably.
Okay. The Undertaker, if you're watching this and if you read Mick Foley's book, he was working with a broken foot at the time. You remember that?
Yeah.
I heard that story.
Yeah. Watch his foot. He's limping down. Okay. He's limping down. And he's limping
through
that.
You see it a lot when he drops down from the cage after the spot where he throws him through the cage. When he drops down and lands, you can see him just kind of really limping bad for a few seconds after.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so much insanity in that match. I mean, also, Brock Lesnar did a Hell in a Cell versus The Undertaker, correct?
No Mercy 02.
Yeah.
And that was brutal. Oh, my God. That one I looked away from. Undertaker was hamburger.
You know, and Lesnar won the match, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Right,
yep.
And so he celebrated by standing at the, climbing up on top of the cell. But Undertaker was pouring blood.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one match, there were two matches, two Hell in a Cell matches that they, actually three, that they left off the disc. Kennel from Hell, Undertaker, Boss Man, WrestleMania 15, which was just horrible.
And don't forget the tail end of that match.
The noose. Yeah, they will never show that again. Okay.
They show it all the time.
Where?
And then they did show.
When they do Hell in a Cell highlight videos, they always show Boss Man hanging.
They show JBL String Jericho up.
Okay.
That's not so bad.
But and of course, Edge, Undertaker, SummerSlam 08.
Well, that can only be attributed because the Hell in a Cell disc was made before that match.
But yeah, but by the way, that match is worth it just to get the From the Edge Decade of Decadence set. I have that set. That match kicks ass.
It was spectacular. Final spot taking a little too long to be set up, notwithstanding. It was worth it to see Edge being literally sent to hell, not only physically, but ceremonially.
Yes. It was beauty.
Oh, like I said, live, it brought a tear to my eye.
I didn't know you cared. How romantic, right?
Well, I knew I was going to miss Edge.
Oh, poor baby. Yes, okay.
We are the dark romantics. Dark romantics.
But,
the faster deserved it.
Yes, he did. But what was beautiful about that particular match is from the moment Edge walked out of that match, walked out of the back of the gorilla position,
mm-hmm.
he was, and excuse my language when I say this, he was a walking erection, you know? He was having a wrestling orgasm being in the cage, because if you remember the couple of weeks before, he was looking forward to being there.
Yep.
Remember?
Well, the best one of that was when he backed Vicky in the corner, dumped her out of the wheelchair, and pretty much threatened that he was going to send Undertaker to hell and send her right behind him.
Right.
You're coming along for the ride.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to partial to I Understand.
Oh, yes. That was great, too.
What's that?
I Understand. And another, you don't listen. You know, that sort of thing. You know, and again, it goes without saying. I mean, but Hell in a Cell, you're going to see it sometime in 09. I just don't know when.
I have a feeling I know when it's going to happen in 09.
SummerSlam, Triple H, Orton?
No. They need something to prop up Great American Bash. Because let's face it, the Great American Bash pay-per-view does not sell anymore.
Okay.
It does. That's because I think 06 was the only good card.
And even that one was marred by...
liver enzymes.
Yeah. Elevated liver enzymes.
Who's elevated liver enzymes?
Everybody.
Ashley, Great Khali.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
To be honest, I didn't care that Khali had been taken out of it because Big Show and Undertaker had so much fun in that prison. I'm sorry, they looked like they were having way too much fun in the Punjabi prison.
They were in the Punjabi prison match?
Yeah.
Okay, now that match has only been twice, correct? Twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How in the blue hell does that match work?
All right.
It's 2K... I can explain this one.
All right.
You're in a regular cage.
But it's made of bamboo.
Then there's another one made out of bamboo.
Yes. Yeah. Both of them were made of bamboo, actually.
Okay.
Give me a couple of minutes. You guys are almost ready with the story.
And the idea was that you had to get out. And there was no door on the last cage.
And the top had, like, spikes or something on it.
Winky things.
Now, what did the internal Punjabi prison have, like, doors that shut at a certain time?
Yeah, there was a timer on them.
60 seconds. You called for the door to be opened. You had 60 seconds to get out of the door before it was shut.
And then it would stay shut. Now, if I recall correctly, in both matches, all four doors were shut.
Right, because they had to get over.
So they had to climb over.
Right. And there was this one match that Batista had. That
was the second one.
Right. That he actually made the jump from one cage to another, which was just nuts.
In the first one, Undertaker, Big Show, there was a bunch of other implements in the cage, and there were some ropes hanging from the prison. I recall Undertaker swinging.
You mean like Tarzan?
Tarzan style swinging.
No,
it'd be like... rest in peace, boy.
Am I the only one that when I heard swinging thought of Pee Wee's Big Adventure when he's swinging on the vine with a bicycle?
Yes.
Yep.
But go on.
The finishes for, at least they did two different finishes. The cage kind of fell open on Show and Undertaker. The outer cage fell open. That's something I remember distinctly. The second one, Batista had to climb the outside cage and pretty much slid somewhat before jumping down. And if you watch him carefully, he's got that, okay, that was cool, but I'm never, ever doing that fucking cage again.
Oh, by the way,
I don't think they're going to do another cage match like that again.
Oh, they'll bring it back. I'm just saying, Batista ain't going in there. Oops.
By the way, I just checked DeviantArt. Our friend Kappa Amy's got a new one.
He does?
John Cena, the astronaut.
Oh, I've seen that one. And you know, gotta watch the Wolverine one. Don't watch that one if you haven't seen the movie.
Like there's just one up to the one of the series now.
Who cares?
And on that note, folks, as I study through the annals of wrestling history and plow through my entire DVD collection, which is now just down to two discs.
Oh, please.
Now, Jason, do you take the $25 in cash, or will you take another assorted goodies? Like a $25 gift card to GameStop or Best Buy?
Sure. I'll take that.
$25. All right. $25 to GameStop? You got it.
Or Best Buy or something to that effect. Yeah. But let me win it first, which I will. But that's beside the point. Anyway.
By the way, Jason, if you do win, not only do you get the $25, but I'll buy a big mailer and send you that shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it. So, listen, let me rock and roll, guys. I will talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Later.
All right. Adios.
Shall we box it up, gentlemen, or?
What are the odds are that I'm going to win this thing? Not too good.
I'm not allowed to comment.
I'm not commenting.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't even know what the hell just got said.
By the way, mind if I do a shameless plug?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got one
this
after.
This week on the North American Wrestling Connection, I'm sorry, on the Rest Craft Sports Digest, damn it! Fuck!
Alright, Rest Craft Sports Digest,
Sports
take
Digest.
Two.
This week on the WrestleCraft Sports Digest, our usurping of Room 101 continues as we drop in two, possibly three new members in the sports wing. This, of course, following our dropping of Mel Kiper Jr. as Gladys takes me off the host queue because she's a bitch. And these two members, one of them I referenced at the beginning of the show, and another was also referenced at the beginning of the show, but is local. And the third, like, possible one, I want input from you guys. Who's a soccer fan here?
Not I.
Not I. But I know where you're going with it.
Not
me. The Didier Drogba is going in no matter what. You don't say that to a camera on national television.
And Tasso, you're plugged?
Yeah, I'll say this. If you've ever wanted to hear five guys spend about 35 minutes talking about New Jack and people he might stab, listen to my last episode of Tuesday Night Typhoon.
I wish you were doing that. I would have at least shown up to tell my one wrestling joke.
It went from like a mention to spending about 30 minutes talking about New Jack.
By the way, Typho, when are you going to bring back Tuesday Night Typho?
Tuesday.
I have a shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for my ugly mug. I will be at next Monday's Raw in Columbus. I'm in the lower level camera side. I couldn't do much better. I'm also attending SmackDown ECW in person. It's in Dayton at the EJ Nutter Center. Hopefully I will have some insights and what happened when the cameras turned off so that Jason can gripe about that again.
Uh-huh.
Like that hasn't taken away 20 minutes of the show.
I apologize for that. Just like I said, people got to realize that when you're in the arena, it's still a television show.
Speaking of taking up time, I got a little story for all of you.
Okay.
Now, Rob was a part of this last night. On my show, which is at the blogradio.com/BS, Jason comes in about 36 minutes in the show. For the next hour, it became an extension of the Block Party podcast. But unfortunately, it got cut off in archives at about an hour and 6 minutes into the show.
I know I probably should have talked about this when I was talking about the interviews, but I've got a story about why Aaron and Dustin and I wanted to bring discussion of the indie scene to the five or six people that probably still listen to us. You haven't talked about numbers lately, Rob, when it comes to the show.
Because it's even more embarrassing than WWE's buy rates.
Fair enough. But, no, I'm going to tell this story, and, you know, Chelsea is still kicking herself because she could have been a part of it. Myself and a shut up, Gladys. I've been telling a story here. Me and another wrestling manager from Cincinnati had gone to the Insanity Pro Show, and we got there considerably early. There was a fan out there, about 17 or so, who we were talking wrestling about, and somebody dared him to take Kobashi chops, which is essentially a bunch of rapid-fire chops followed by a slap to the face. So somebody gave him a round of those. Then two or three other people came over and were chopping. I gave him a Bubba chop. Somebody gave him a Big Show chop. The door to the venue opens, and out walks Dave Crist of the Irish Airborne. Words are exchanged, ending in that this kid's going to take a chop from an actual wrestler. As in, Dave Crist giving this kid three or four very stiff chops, blistering his chest. Normally this would be the end of the story. Dave would laugh at him and go back inside. Instead, Dave pulls him aside and says, "How much do you really know about wrestling, kid?" This kid got real quiet real quick because Dave then spent 20 minutes educating this kid verbally about the trials and travails of the independent wrestling scene. I wished that somebody would have run inside and got a video camera or somebody had video running, because this sermon needs to be played to anybody who even has half an inkling of getting into the wrestling business.
Yes, because if I remember from what you tell me when we talk, and from what I understand from other independent wrestlers that I know on the WrestleCraft forums, you guys are doing it for next to nothing, or in some cases, absolutely nothing.
Exactly, and there's a lot to it, and that's what I'm going to leave, you know, that's what Aaron and Dustin and I are going to discuss.
Yeah, and in some cases, Jason's a part of this, too, because he does independent ring announcing.
Exactly. So, you know, this was just a beautiful little, you know, I dare call it a sermon, which was added amusement about 5 minutes later when Dave went inside, got Jake Crist, Dustin, Chris Madness, Brandon, and two or three other guys and said, "Come here and take a look at this poor kid's chest." So for the next 10 minutes, this poor kid had to hike up his shirt where his chest had been blistered like nobody's business, had a handprint over one peck. It was bad. And Dave made him feel better and autographed it. And they gave him shit about it for the rest of the night. So, also, Colt Cabana says hi.
Straight out of South Philly.
Colt remembered me and flattered me by ordering me to go back to the car and get my coat and my lanyard because he insisted on taking a picture with me in full regalia.
Yeah.
That to me is exceptionally flattering. So thank you, Colt. If you help me, or actually listening.
To be quiet, I don't think anybody's listening.
That's cool.
Okay.
In that case, I'm gonna call it a night for myself.
Well, I'm gonna call it a night too, because I got an episode of Survivor I gotta catch up on. Then it's Hollywood Squares, and then it's an hour of Dick Clark, $100,000 pyramid, $25,000 pyramid goodness.
There you go. I'm going to sit here and count on some Tornado and bring about the end of the world in my wrestling one-on-one because of Randy Orton.
I think the WWE is stealing from our wrestling room one-on-one.
That's the wrong room. Did Forth leave the door open when you left?
No.
Well, if he did, I made sure to slam it back shut on Wednesday when we threw Mel Kiper Jr. in.
Remember, if it weren't for those, people, you would have seen what my other sign would have been. Somehow, that had to be the night a bunch of drunk fans got in a fight. First time it ever happened at any show I've been to, I've never seen anyone fighting in the stands. So, Rob, let me just tell you, there is a God, and unfortunately for me, he somehow likes you a hell of a lot.
What's that?
Like I was saying, that I had another sign planned, but there were people getting into a fight, so I couldn't show it.
And what was the other sign?
Let's just say that I'm just keeping that to the grave.
I got my hands on the handle, bub.
Hey, don't worry, I'm not going to...
Which is why he's not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Because there's a trap door that'll pop up under you, man.
Oh, I'm maneuvering Didier Drogba and Manny Ramirez to that trap door this week.
You got my vote on Manny.
Oh, trust me. If you do that, I would love to create your Sports Room 101 video. Just so I could put this song. Nikki has not heard this song. Neither has Thor. My friend, this was done on Carl's show. This was first done on Carl's show. This is done by mine and Carl's best friend, Jim Williams.
All right.
Ready?
Go.
If I can... That's unplugged. This is turned up.
Press a button.
That...
I remember every game. You'd forget just why you came. Falling as you run, stumbling round the bases, not running out ground balls and other disgraces. Everyone knows you can play, but you had problems every day. Fighting with your team, a pain in the fanny. Everyone said, it's Manny being Manny. Oh, Manny, I wonder what drugs you were taking. Now they sent you away. Oh, Manny, all the money that you won't be making. A third of your pay. Oh, Manny.
You need to set that ESPN and see if
they'll actually
play it on the air.
Your legacy has turned to slime. All of your homers are drug-fueled facade. Your fans are heartbroken. You're just like A-Rod. Oh, Manny. Well, you took PEDs without saying. Now they sent you away, oh, Manny. 2 months before you can start playing, you become a cliche, oh, Manny.
Your thoughts, Nikki?
I reiterate, send it to ESPN. You guys get that on TV.
My thought is that should have ended the show tonight. You shouldn't have asked us for thoughts. That should have just capped it off.
You know what? You're right.
I'm
going to play it all right now. Ladies and gentlemen, for Nikki Hammond, Jason Block, Carl Chenier, VRM, Typho, Forth, this is Robert Sylund saying, take it away, Steve Bryant and Jim Williams.
Just why you came. Falling as you run, stumbling round the bases, not running out ground balls and other disgraces. Everyone knows you can play, but you had problems every day. Fighting with your team, a pain in the fanny. Everyone said, it's Manny being Manny. Oh, Manny, I wonder what drugs you were taking. Now they sent you away. Oh, Manny, all the money that you won't be making. A third of your pay. Oh, Manny. Looks like you've run out of time. Your legacy has turned to slime. All of your homers are drug-fueled facade. Your fans are heartbroken. You're just like A-Rod. Oh, Manny. Well, you took PEDs without saying.
Now they sent you away, oh Manny, 2 months before you can start playing. You've become a cliche, oh Manny. Like they got you good. Were you taking those drugs to restart your manhood, oh Manny? I wonder what drugs you were taking. Now they sent you away, oh Manny. All the money that you won't be making, a third of your pay. Oh, Manny, well, you took PEDs without saying. Now they sent you away, oh, Manny, 2 months before you can start playing. You're a cliche.
That is the best way to end the show.
I knew I was good for something.
What's that for?
Suggesting to play that song at the end.
You're very welcome. Good night.